Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Greg Jarrett. Caution spreads across financial markets as jobs data disappoints and geopolitical angst intensifies after the first military strike undertaken by President Donald Trump's administration. Stocks are little changed at this time. We check those markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. Here on Bloomberg Radio, S&P 500 is little changed, down 1. Dow is little changed, down 3. The NASDAQ is down 0.1%, down 7. The 10-year is up 7/32 with a yield of 2.31%. West Texas Intermediate is at 52.11 a barrel now. That's up 0.8%. COMEX Gold's up 1.2% at 1268.60 per ounce. Right now, the yen at 110.71, the euro 106.31, the pound 123.97, all to the dollar. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Bloomberg Markets continues now with Tim Fox.
Thank you very much, Greg Jarrett. The United States attacked Syrian airbase with a barrage of cruise missiles last night, retaliation for this week's chemical weapons attack against civilians. President Donald Trump casting the U.S. assault as vital to deter future use of poison gas. He also called on other nations to join in seeking to, quote, end the slaughter and bloodshed in Syria. Here to tell us more is Tony Capasio. He is our Pentagon and National Security reporter for Bloomberg, and he joins us from Washington, D.C. Tony, what detail can you add to what we already know about these attacks?
Okay, well I picked up this morning that the operation came together in about 24 hours. The Navy actually did two rehearsals of it, the two vessels involved, the two rehearsals of it. And they both.
This is the USS Ross and the USS Porter, correct?
Right. They, I'll give you some detail. The Ross fired 36 of the latest model Raytheon Block 4E Tomahawk cruise missiles. The Porter fired 34 of them. Each missile took about 45 minutes to 60 minutes to hit its target, and there were backups in the with the Bush strike group in the Persian Gulf in case any of these missiles malfunctions. And both those ships did two rehearsals, from what I was told, where they went through the dry runs of launch sequence and actually launching. So it came together pretty fast.
Now, the governor of the Homs province, Talal Barzari, he said that some Syrians had been killed and others wounded, but there were no precise details. Do we know anything about the results?
Not yet, but, I mean, it's plausible. They picked that time, 4:40 a.m., when there was minimal activity at the airbase. So that's pretty standard for these type of operations. You know, it's conceivable that some people were killed. I'm not going to discount it, but I don't have any insight into that now.
All right. And let's talk about the implications for this with the meeting that President Donald Trump is currently having with Chinese President Xi Jinping. Mm-hmm. What kind of signal do you think that sends to him about one of their big topics, which is North Korea's nuclear program?
Well, I think the Chinese and North Koreans now will have to reckon with the fact that they're dealing with a U.S. president who moved pretty quickly, albeit with a precision limited strike, but he moved pretty quickly to retaliate with a minimal consultation with Congress. You recall during the Vietnam War that Nixon wanted to invoke the kind of a madman theory with North Vietnam in terms of whether what he would do. Well, maybe there's a madman theory at play here. Trump showing that he's quick, impulsive, fast on the draw, and that might send a chill up North Korea or China's spines.
Well, Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, says it clearly indicates the president is willing to take decisive action when called for. Mm-hmm. What does this mean for the U.S. relationship with Russia? Because, of course, the president has called for greater counterterrorism cooperation with Russia.
I think the impact will be minimal because the U.S. took pains. They contacted the Russians through they call this deconfliction link that was set up because over airstrikes. You know, we tipped the Russians off and locally. We didn't tip them off through at the Moscow level, but we tipped the Russians off locally that this was going to happen. The U.S., that those cruise missiles were precise enough, they did not hit the airfield areas where the Russians were sleeping or are stationed. You know, we give them advance warning. And, you know, Pim, I think it's going to show that the Russians did not tip the Syrians off. That we don't know that definitively. We'll know that later today. But I don't think the Russians tipped the Syrians off. There was no indications of planes taking off ahead of time. So I'm not sure what the long-term implications on U.S.-Russia relations are. I lean toward it might reinforce the fact that we can be trusted allies.
Does it also change the dynamic when it comes to Vladimir Putin's support of President Bashar al-Assad, that indeed perhaps they are not as strong allies as previously thought?
If the Russian reaction is muted, I tend to agree with you there, that the relationship with Syria is not as close as we thought. I mean, it depends on the reaction from Russia, and so far it's been fairly muted.
Well, the U.N. ambassador, the Russians' deputy U.N. ambassador, Vladimir Safrakov, he warned that any negative consequences from the strike would be, quote, on the shoulders of those who initiated such a doubtful and tragic enterprise. Is he just using diplomatic language because he's got nothing else to say?
Well, that's the first cut of outrage. I mean, the follow-up will be more important in terms of what impact it's going to have in Syria. If the Russians start painting or illuminating U.S. planes with their radars in an act of pique or retaliation, retaliation short of firing missiles, that'll be more of a leading indicator than whatever words come out of the U.N. ambassador.
Tony, what about Steve Bannon and his departure from the National Security Council? He has previously spoken about the U.S. being overextended outside America. Do you think that the National Security Council's change had anything to do with this?
Yeah, I think one change is that the Pentagon was allowed to plan this on their own fairly quickly without a lot of back and forth with the National Security Council. I think that accounts in some respect for the rapid nature of the operation, that the Pentagon was able to pull this together on its own without a lot of mother may I from the National Security Council.
Indeed. Just a last point to you, Tony. What's next? Do we just wait and see, or is there going to be some detail about some change in policy?
I think it'll be what we're going to learn more from the Pentagon today is the battle damage assessment, the nuts and bolts of a military attack aftermath. I think you're going to see maybe a letter to Congress from the White House asking for an authorization for use of military force on Syria. I think that's one possible, plausible follow-up.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there, but we look forward to you covering this topic for us. Tony Capasio is our Pentagon and national security reporter for Bloomberg, joining us from Washington, D.C. This is Bloomberg.